Welcome. This is your host, Kendi Foster. Welcome to the Heal It Show today. Today, we're going to talk about, how to calm anxiety, worry, and other troubling emotions. Calmness is the key, isn't it? I mean, all of us go through challenges. All of us at one point or another get stressed out. All of us have probably lost it here and there with our emotions, but it doesn't necessarily have to be that way, does it? You know, over the years, I know that many of the people I've hosted on this show and other shows I've had have come up with a lot of ways to be able to be calm in the face of the storms. And some of you are pretty good at it, but some of you aren't. And I know who you are because I see you out in the world. You know, people getting upset for just the littlest things. Somebody cuts you off in traffic and boom, all of a sudden now you're upset. You know, so and listen, you know, some of you lose a pencil or lose something and you get upset. Or some of you, somebody says something to you that you don't like and now it upsets the emotions. Can you relate? I'm sure you can. But how would you like to learn the how through a very quick method how to stay calm? It's called the SNAP method. We're going to talk about it today with my very special guest and friend who's going to be on in just a second. I want you to get your pen and paper. I want you to really take notice of this podcast that we're doing here, this TV broadcast, and start to really get that you don't have to be driven by your emotions. You know, the mind is over our emotions, emotions over actions, actions over results, results over destiny. So it starts at the level of mind. And of course, for those of you that are spiritual, it starts at the level of soul and spirit. But we're going to be talking about the mind today and how to really change your mind, change your life. All right, take a break. We'll be right back and I'll have my first and only guest. Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Kendi Foster, and I have my friend and amazing, brilliant, you got so many titles, Julie. You've done so much in this world to help people to really change up their emotions, change up their life. It's just, it's good to have you. Yeah, welcome.
It's really good to be here. It's so good to see you. We took a couple year break, and I'm glad to be back with you.
I'm glad you're back with me too. For those of you that don't know Julie, Julie Podeker is a mindful expert with extensive certifications and teacher trainings in a variety of tools and methods, including mindful self-compassion. Her new book, SNAP, From Chaos to Calm, is what we're going to be talking about today. And through her mindful meditations for life program offerings, Julie helps others to bring more peace, wellness in their lives. Julie's first book was Life Falls Apart, But You Don't Have To, Mindful Methods for Staying Calm in the Midst of Chaos. Both those books are available. In fact, that other one's available in audiobook right now, the first one. Julie, let's just start from the beginning. I got a feeling you weren't always calm and composed. And that's how I've known you for years, but that's probably not where you started. Where'd you start from?
Well, people generally come to this type of work because they're suffering and they need to heal themselves. And that was absolutely the case for me with three teenagers with ADHD and aging parents, and the wrong words were coming out of my mouth. And I went to a neurologist who diagnosed me with stress. Thank goodness, not a brain tumor, but stress. And he recommended mindfulness-based stress reduction. And that is what set me on this path. That's probably 15 years ago now. So mindful self-compassion wasn't yet invented. That occurred in 2010, which is when I took it. In 2014, they offered a teacher training program. I thought, oh, this worked for me. I'm going to teach it. And I'm in the first cohort of teachers. And now, 10 years after that, I'm actually part of the UCSD Center for Mindfulness teaching team.
Wow. Congratulations on that. Thank you. You know, a lot of people go through stressful situations, but everybody doesn't respond the same way. You know, some people respond in anger, some people respond in grief, some people detach, some people are nervous. You know, there's any amount of emotions when one goes through stress.
Sure.
What are the key? I kind of want to ask you, what are the keys to being calm? But before that, how do you define negative stress? Let's just go there.
Well, nobody's actually ever asked me that, and it's a good question. I think negative stress is any stress that prevents you from living a happy life. Mm. If you can't get out of the bed in the morning because you have too much anxiety or depression, and you're not brushing your teeth and brushing your hair and taking a shower, and you're having a hard time in your closet just staring at all the clothes, and you can't figure out what to put on, and your brain is working slow, and your speech is garbled, all of that is detrimental to living your best life.
I love that definition, and I would also like to say that I think that there are people that have stress symptoms and they're not aware of it. In other words, they get angry a lot. Or, you know, like you said, you know, or maybe they're detached, a little more detached from people, or maybe they don't want to go and connect with people for, you know, because they're maybe even afraid of people, right? I mean, afraid of putting themselves out in the world that way. Is that what you found too?
Sure. Absolutely. I mean, there's, you know, people that are angry know they're angry, though. The detached people might be a little bit more confused. But when people have difficult emotions and they're not managing their emotions, and then they have bad behavior because they acted poorly because they feel so uncomfortable, then they get embarrassed or have shame. And then it's just more junk to add to what's going on that they then have to heal.
So tell me about the mindful compassion piece. What is that? What can you describe?
Well, mindful self-compassion for me is what really healed me. And that is, it's three prongs. How Kristen Neff and Chris Germer wrote the curriculum was mindfulness, which is, you know, you have to know your suffering to treat yourself with kindness, right? So that's the mindfulness piece. Then it's self-kindness is the second piece. And then the third piece is common humanity. And I love the common humanity piece because in your intro, you know, it was like, some people get mad breaking a pencil, some people this, some people that. It's so true that all of us humans walking the planet are going to struggle and are going to suffer. And when we really internalize the common humanity piece, it helps normalize those things, and it helps us feel less alone and isolated. And isolation and loneliness can lead to depression. So it just sort of like picks up that piece, picks up the deep end of the pool.
It really does. And it's, I'm thinking, I've worked as a coach for over 30 years now, and as a life coach and a business strategist. And I've come across, you know, I work with a lot of business owners, you know, their CEOs and what have you, and they're stressed out. And like I said, the behaviors show up in a lot of different ways, but there's one common thing that they all come to me for, and they probably come to you for, and that's they want to change these behavioral patterns. And a lot of times they just don't know how to do it, right? And so that's why they come to me or you. But
right.
I want to say, what? Go ahead.
People want to feel happy, and they want to be free of suffering, and they want to feel safe. All people want that. They want to feel love. They want to belong. So learning how to manage difficult emotions easily is a really good tool to have in your toolbox, because then you show up in society better.
Yeah, people will like you more. And you know, a lot of times these disempowering emotions seem to come, they're almost a reaction. They're not a response. It's like somebody would just get angry for, like I said, break a pencil or lose a pencil or lose a watch or it's just like a response that they've trained their minds over and over and over again to do. So what we're talking about here, what I heard you talk about, compassionate mindfulness, is being able to break that pattern.
Yeah. what you're talking about, I'm doing, if for people that can see this, I put my hand up. So this is the amygdala, the oldest part of your brain. And that reaction that you were just talking about is your lizard brain. It's your amygdala. And what you want is your prefrontal cortex behind your forehead to come online so that you can make a skillful response so that it's not a snap reaction. Dan Siegel, Dr. Dan Siegel from UCLA, who's a phenomenal teacher and author, talks about it as flipping your lid. You want this part of you online so that you can make a more skillful response. Sunday, I was trying to get home to San Diego. I was on Delta Airlines. We had to fly from Cleveland to Detroit and change planes and fly from Detroit to San Diego. Well, it took 12 hours to get home Sunday. And I was perfectly happy because I was safe. It was completely Yep. out of my control. And people were starting to stress right around me. And I just said, well, we can't do anything about this. Let's just all relax. And this one girl was like, but I've got to be, she was like, you know, a millennial, I've got to be at work tomorrow in San Francisco. And I said, maybe you won't be there. And everybody just sort of went,
psh. Yeah. And I love that you did that because it takes heroes to do that, to be able to call it out in a gentle, loving way, humorous way, you know. And, you know, so people go, okay, yeah, we could relax. Things out of our control.
We can relax. We can't control it. Yeah, we can relax.
Out of your control. And yeah, that's really good. Well, I'm wondering if you can identify the cause and cure for anxiety. Now, I don't want you to answer it. I want you to think about it for a second because I'm putting you on the spot. And I'm going to take a quick break and then we'll come back and we'll see how Julie answers that. And of course, I'll help her with it.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. I will be right back with my guest, Julie Potocker, and we will be talking about the cause and cure of anxiety in just a second. I wanted to let you know that this show is on YouTube and you can subscribe and not miss any of these shows. You can also go to voicesofcourage.us, voicesofcourage.us. This Heal It show is on that network also. Plus, the Heal It show is on many, many networks. You can watch us on Roku. You can watch us on Amazon Fire. You can watch us on Google TV. And LG TV coming soon. So it's on a lot of places. So I hope you'll tune in. And by the way, this show is all about helping people to heal it, right? So pass it on to those people you think might benefit from this show. Thank you so much. All right, back to my guest, Julie. Julie, all right, I put you on the spot. Cause and cure of anxiety.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you that you went to a break because I hit ChatGPT-4 real quickly.
What did ChatGPT
actually, we both know the answer to this. I didn't need ChatGPT-4. So it's complicated, of course, and there's many, many factors. It's cortisol and adrenaline, which ChatGPT did not tell me, which I actually know my own self. But there's a variety of reasons why people have anxiety. Some of them are chemical, some of them are genetic, some of them are environmental, like when you have something happen in your life, you lose your job, you lose your house, you get divorced, somebody you love dies. All of those events that are negative life events can cause tremendous anxiety. And I hope that people get support through those things so that they can then, if it's traumatic, move to post-traumatic growth. I mean, it's possible with all kinds of things that we suffer as we live on this planet Earth that anxiety is going to happen and we can get help to manage it.
Yeah. Well, I like the fact that when one stops pointing fingers out at others, it's their problem. They caused my anxiety. They did this. My job caused my anxiety. They take 100% responsibility. I believe that's kind of the first step. It's like, wait a second, this is going on inside of me. It's a self-created experience. How can I change that up?
I'm going to say that gentler, okay?
I bet you will.
So regardless of what caused it, we have the power to help ourselves heal it.
Yeah, that's really good. And I sense too, you go into the dinosaur brain, right? You know, a part of that, part of that is the fear, fear, fight or flight syndrome, where we're in a fear-based thinking. And, you know, I just want to take a little deeper dive in what's underneath a lot of fears. And that is, it's the feeling or the thought that we will lose what we have or not get what we want. Lose what you have or not get what you want. It's kind of deep, but I want to throw that out there to my audience because they can start to kind of resonate with that. When somebody's in anxiety, what is the SNAP process to get us out of it?
Well, can I, before I take you through SNAP, can I touch on what you just said?
Do. Because please do, yeah.
The scarcity piece of not having what you want or losing what you want, all of that fear stuff, correct? Fight, flight, freeze, faint. That's your cortisol and adrenaline response. This actually takes us into SNAP because the first piece of SNAP is soothing touch. And that is when you place your hands on your body where you find it soothing. And Ken, for you, you might have two hands on your heart. You might be cradling your face. You might have a hand on your heart and one on your belly or both on your belly. You might be hugging your arms or just laying one hand in the other. But in all of these cases, what will happen is the cortisol and adrenaline will be downregulated because oxytocin and endorphins are being released by your brain into your body. So already you're moving from the panicky fight, flight, freeze, faint to tend and befriend. You're already going from danger to safety in your body before your brain can actually make a more skillful response. Your body is already starting to calm down. So that's the essence SNAP.
Wow.
And then if you want me to keep snapping with you, I will. I'll take you through the end, the
well,
A, and the P.
Okay, we're going to keep snapping and we're going to take a quick break before we keep snapping, but we're going to keep snapping and we're going to give you all the pieces here. I love that first piece. You know, I know for me, I'm fortunate to have Judy, my wife here. And, you know, so when I remember it, I go over and give her a hug also, which releases the oxytocin and the endorphins if I'm there for about 20 seconds. So that's a wonderful thing.
That releases them in your wife and in you. But what's so cool about the mammalian caregiver response is we don't need another person to do it. We can parent ourselves. That is power.
That is power. Self-power. Self-empowerment. All right. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to take charge of your health and well-being? UK Health Radio is your ultimate digital destination for cutting-edge health information and inspiration. At UK Health Radio, we know that good health is not merely the absence of disease, but a state of complete physical, mental, and emotional well-being. Tune in to our wide range of expert-led shows where renowned health professionals share about the latest research, practical tips, and inspiring stories that will motivate you to live your healthiest life. Don't settle for anything less than vibrant health. Tune in to UKHealthRadio.com, the world's number one talk health radio and podcast platform.
back, everybody. This is your host, Kendi Foster, and I'm speaking with Julie Puttaker, and we are talking about how to heal it, how to calm down the anxiety, worry, and other troubling emotions. I think what I want to do is I want to see your book on set up on the screen. There it is. Snap. All right. Yeah, which way to go, right? That way or that way? Oh, let me get my fingers right. Oh, yeah, there we go. Okay. Julie, I do want to go into the other parts of Snap, but before I get there, what I want to ask you is, why did you write the book?
So during COVID, I came up with Snap as an acronym, like a little great little stack of how to manage difficult emotions. And prior to that time, I was teaching a practice called RAIN, Recognize, Allow, Investigate, Not Identify. And I was always doing soothing touch at the beginning of RAIN. And I was also like adapting each letter as it went along. And RAIN has been taught since the 80s by mindfulness teachers. So I'm like, wait a minute, this needs an update. And I came up with SNAP. And I started looking at all of my writing. I keep a blog going back 10 years and recharacterizing it through the lens of SNAP. And it worked for everything. It worked for grief, for anger, for fear, for anxiety. And I was like, wow, this is really something. And then I reached out to my mentor, Rick Hansen, and I said, what do you think about this? And I ran him through it. And he's like the father of experience dependent neuroplasticity training, which I teach from his professional class, which is how to bank a happier brain, basically by taking in positive mental states, knowing when you feel one or creating one, doing it long enough in your body, a dozen seconds to push it to a neural trait. So you go from mental state to neural trait, you get a happier brain. So anyway, that was an elevator pitch for experience dependent neuroplasticity. But I ran him through soothing touch, name the emotion, ACT, which has ACT one and ACT two components. And I said, proceed with self-compassion. And he said, what about praise? And I went, oh, that's why you're the teacher. That's brilliant. So it became soothing touch, name the emotion, ACT, and praise. And the praise piece is very cool. When we get to the P, we'll talk about why the praise piece is so cool. But now, going back, we've done soothing touch. Name the emotion is the N. Name it to tame it, feel it to heal it. One of the mind hacks with naming it is you're continuing to give your prefrontal cortex time to come online. Soothing touch started that with the release of oxytocin and endorphins. Then you name it. Oh, that's anger, or oh, that's anxiety, whatever it is, right? And then the ACT is, what do I need to hear right now? Which is the penultimate mindful self-compassion question. Julie, sweetheart, you're actually safe right now. Look around you. Nobody's chasing you. I mean, I get why that would be upsetting or anxietal. It would be to most people, but you're okay. And then the second piece of ACT is your toolbox, Ken. And so that'll be different for each one of us, but it could be going outside, calling a friend, mindful eating, mindful walking, doing some breath work, listening to music, exercising, taking a bath. Whatever it is, I have people write a joy list of all the things that bring them joy, and whatever they're able to do in that moment to shift their mood is what they'll do. And if they have to choose three things out of their toolbox, one after the other until they feel better, so be it. And then P for praise is, good job, Julie. Good job, Ken. And if you're a faith-based person, now's the time to lean in to thanking Jesus, thanking God, thanking Allah, thanking Buddha, thanking the universe, whatever it is, because all of that gorgeously fits into the gratitude practice, which will have mental health benefits in every area of your life. That's been studied for 60 years. Mm. So that's SNAP.
This is brilliant. I love this. And I want to let my audience know, if you would like to find the book, you can go to, I believe, mindfulmethodsforlife.com. Is that right, Julie?
Yeah, you can go in any bookstore.
Okay.
Any bookstore. If they don't have it on their shelf, they can order it. And you can also get it on Amazon, and it's also on Audible and whatever the Amazon, you know, I did, it was me speaking it. So both books I did on Audible.
I love it. I love this. And I love the fact that it's so simple and easy to do. So my listening audience, I'm going to repeat that again, mindfulmethodsforlife.com, mindfulmethodsforlife.com. And the book is SNAP. It's very easy to remember. SNAP. Snap, 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 snap.
Snap out of it.
Snap it away, right? Snap it away. Snap that away. Yeah. Do you actually use a snap? You could, like, maybe that's one of my acts.
So Ken, when I teach this in a group, I have hand and arm movements, and I have people stand up. I have them snap their fingers, and then I say, soothing touch, name the emotion, act. Well, you can't see my hands, I don't think. And then praise. And so and then I have people turn to the left and do it, and then forward, and then the right, and then back, and then stand up, and then sit down. And my husband said it reminded him of doing the hokey pokey. And I said, that's good, because people remember the hokey pokey. And that is actually a brain technique for getting people to code and remember it. And then once they know it, they're not going to need to do the dance moves, but the dance moves helps to integrate it into your memory.
All right. If I have any musicians out here in the audience, you're listening to Julie now. She needs that song. It's like a hokey pokey, but it's for snap. It's the snap song.
I want it.
Huh?
I want that. I want somebody to do it. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we're putting it out to the universe right now. We're putting it out to God here. Lord, come on, bring that in for Julie. It's something that would it would help people anchor it. Just anchors in you, you know, and how fun to come home and you come home and you had a tough day, but your wife puts on Snap, the Snap song.
Or your husband
puts it on, either way, you know. So I think there's something to that. I really do. Okay, I gotta take a quick break, and when we come back, I'd like to take a little bit more time on that compassion piece, because I think that's a hard piece for people to really nail, especially people that are in their heads a lot. So we're gonna do that when we come back here. Alrighty, I think we're gonna take a break here. Are we gonna take a break? Maybe, we'll see. Okay, here we go.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm talking with Julie Podeker, and we're talking about her book, Snap, which was written during the COVID, and it's going viral now. It's going out all over the world. People want to heal their anxiety, be able to step into having more peace, calmness, and opening their heart. I think that's where I want to go right now, Julie, because it's that compassion piece, that opening the heart, that sometimes is difficult. Sometimes there's stuck emotions where I didn't forgive myself. I didn't forgive somebody else. So I'm holding on to this piece that's kind of churning underneath the surface. And how do we have more compassion for ourselves, Julie? Let these things go.
Well, it's a practice, right? And there's specific practices in the Mindful Self-Compassion curriculum for making friends with your inner critic, so that your harsh internal voice lessens and takes a back seat, and you say, I get it. I hear you. You've been trying to keep me safe, keep me from embarrassing myself all these years. You know what? You're not nice. I love myself. I'll take it from here. But that's a practice. There's writing exercises in my first book specifically from that curriculum that take people through that. And I actually created a 5-day class, like a greatest hits for the Golden Door Spa, which I taught 8 times, and really, really quick, spiffy class. And I included the inner critic exercises in there because people really need that. And that is where forgiveness comes in. So I think you have to deal with your inner critical voice before you can deal with the other stuff that's on top of it.
Well, I know when I was healing that piece, and I still work on it, by the way, but I was healing it, you know, it was out of control for a while. I remember I named my inner critic, and I described my inner critic. And my inner critic I described as a kind of a broken-nosed New York guy, a trash guy who's delivering trash, because that's what my mouth would be, trash. And, you know, I described it and I described the qualities. And then I had a good friend of mine. And I said, listen, and we named him Benny. I said, if you hear Benny, then let me know. Because a lot of times, you know, we're just in old patterns and old ways of showing up. And maybe we had a family dynamic that, you know, everybody, you know, swore or cussed or went to negativity or gossiped or whatever it is. And then my Benny would come out, right? And I knew I didn't want that anymore. So I had to do that work. What do you suggest in this case?
Well, I think that that's miraculously self-aware and courageous that you did that on your own, Ken, because normally people can't do that on their own. I mean, internal family systems created by Dr. Schwartz is who basically spearheaded this whole thing, this whole parts work, inner critic work. And they have all kinds of books and psychiatrists and psychologists that do this, that help people with this, because it's hard. And the Mindful Self-Compassion curriculum, it's just sort of the tip of the iceberg. But I've had people sitting in front of me after writing doing the 2-letter exercises, after writing the second one, you know, grown women. These 2 women were retired physicians. They didn't know each other. They just happened to be in the same session together. And I had one woman say, wow, I had no idea that my father, all these years, what I was viewing as his lack of compassion or lack of caring or lack of love, it was something else. And you've really done me a solid here. Like, she healed just by doing a writing exercise with the appropriate prompts. So it's very, very powerful work, and it can be freeing for people. My inner critic, I call, I don't know if I can say the word. It's a female dog. Am I allowed to say it?
Yeah, of course you can say that. Yeah.
So I call it my inner bitch. So it's not a Benny, but it's a bitch. And I pretty much have a handle on her. I'm still working on the piece of body image stuff. Yeah. Now that I'm 63, I feel like, well, most of the other really big stuff has been handled and integrated, and I'm happy in my skin. This little piece I should probably handle. And I just started doing it this week.
That's really powerful, Julie. Yeah, it just, you know, it's in layers and it comes off. But, you know, the good news is that when we go through the process and we do the work, and I'm sure you'll agree with me, we live differently. We have more peace. Mm-hmm. We are, you know, a lot less, I don't have hardly any stress in my life, right? I mean, I got some good stress because there's things I like to do. But yeah, life gets easier when you do the work. That's the point.
It's freedom. Yeah. Like you're opening up more places of connection and belonging.
And there's the other part of this too. And that's the freedom piece I love, because a lot of us are seeking freedom in many areas, right? Freedom from, you know, stress, freedom from relationship issues, freedom from money issues, freedom from societal issues. You know, we all want this freedom, but it all takes work to go within, because freedom is an inside job. It's not something that's outside of you that you're going to fix out there. It all has to start in here. So, this is deep work. This is good stuff, Julie. And where does a person, you know, first I was going to mention this. There, a lot of times people don't understand the inner critic and don't know how to get even what is that, right? There was a book written by a friend of mine who's passed now. Her name is Debbie Ford, and she wrote a book called Dark Side of the Light Chasers, right? Yeah.
I loved her.
She was amazing. Yeah.
I love Debbie.
No, we're here, Debbie. We're connecting with you. That book, yeah.
Hi, Debbie.
That book really helped us to understand some of those areas. I think that's a big piece, because when you do this work, your awareness expands. You start to become conscious of a lot more things. And, you know, with awareness comes better choices. And with better choices comes an easier, better life. Not that it's always going to be easy, but you definitely get a lot more awareness and become empowered when that happens. Yeah.
Right.
So I love the fact that we're going down this piece of self-exploration. So when a person wants to start here, Julie, start with Snap, you think? Start with your first book. Where do they start? Start with.
Well, I would probably say start with Snap, and then they can read the first book, or frankly, any mindful self-compassion book. They can read the mindful self-compassion workbook, which is more kind of nuts and bolts. The first book is a memoir and then prescriptive. So there's stories. People love stories. You know, we're storytellers as a species. So the first book is really relatable because it's a lot of parenting stories. It's other people's stories, my stories, and then what to do about all those things, how to manage all those things. Snap is just hammering Snap home, the Snap method home. And it's, you know, it's a recharacterization of other writings that I've done. It's all mine, but it's not any new thing other than Snap.
Well, I think, you know, if we want to heal anything, what I've learned is not only do you have to do the research, do the work, find the right process for you. And I love that, you know, Julie, you're sharing a lot of different ways that people can start this work, not just your way. Because that's who you are. You're really here to help people to get on the bandwagon and do the work. So I believe that when you start down this path, and somebody's new to this, it's really just a quick choice. It's a choice of saying, you know, I'm going to look at the results in my life. What results am I getting with my relationships, with my business, you know, partners or people I'm working with myself? What are the results I'm getting? If you don't like those results, it's okay. You can just change them up. Okay. And it sounds easy, but it is easy. The first part's easy. You make a choice. You say, you know what? This is what I'm going to choose to do. I'm going to choose to work on some of my emotional challenges, and I'm going to choose to be better tomorrow than I was today. And we just keep making that choice. What do you say?
I say that's great. You have to allocate the time. That's the thing. People have to put it on their, they have to make the time. They have to put it on their to-do list, basically. Like, okay, so for the next couple months, I'm going to learn about mindful self-compassion. I'm going to read Self-Compassion for Dummies by Steve Hickman, or I'm going to read Julie's books, or I'm going to read Chris Germer or Kristen Neff, who created the curriculum. I'm going to read one of their books each, you know, and then take a class. Make the time to take a class. It'll change your life, because it'll make you do the homework, and the homework is the practice, and the practice changes the behavior.
And that changes your brain.
And that
right?
changes,
it
your,
changes
brain.
Your brain. Literally changes your brain. And here's the other part. Here's the good news.
Yep.
When you change yourself, you're changing for future generations. When you change, your children change. Your
exactly.
family members will change. They're in your consciousness. They're there for a reason. And by the way, it may not happen instantly. But I have, when I made changes 30 years ago, and when my whole family was pretty unconscious 30 years ago, including me. But as I've grown, they've grown. And it's amazing to watch everybody. And I'm not saying it's all about me, because it's not. But what it is about, it's our connections with one another. We model each other's behavior.
Right.
We step in, we learn, we grow from one another, and that changes future generations. How many? I don't know. Maybe seven, eight generations down, but it will change your family.
Well, there's a science piece to this too, and that is that you're mirroring each other's neurons because you're both primates, and you can't help but do that. So when you're presenting a more integrated, happy, peaceful Ken, the people around you are picking up and mirroring your neurons, which is why when you're with somebody that's really angry and nasty and crappy, you leave feeling like, ugh, because you're trying not to mirror their neurons because you don't want to be brought down. But you got to get your shields up.
Yeah, that's a whole other show we could do. Those shields up. Okay. How to take the shields down and really be able to not take on somebody's energy. And of course, you and I deal with a lot of people that are empathic. So they're taking on the feelings of a lot of other people and they haven't learned how to manage it. Well, tune in again when Julie comes back and maybe we'll discuss that. Anyway, we're out of time, Julie. Thank you so much for being here. It was so good to see you and be with you. And yeah, we're going to reconnect here. This has been great. And I want to thank all of you for being here today on this show. This show is really about you. You know, I designed this show to bring in the best of the best in the world that really have solutions to how to heal mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually all areas of our life so that you can ascend into greater awareness, have more fun in this world, and honestly, have an easier life. Doesn't everybody want that? Okay. Well, please tell your friends and family about this show. And as you do, we'll grow and this world will hopefully grow too. Take care.